Commodity broker Gordy Keller with Chido Commodities joins us for the weekly ag market recap. Gordy, what a week it was. Wednesday, pretty bearish USDA report. We're lower, we closed a little bit higher, and we were off to the races on Thursday, and then we hung on to almost all those gains on Friday.
Well, it was interesting because, you know, we had the big storm go through the day before the report, and, you know, all you had to do was look at that, you know, that storm and go, my God, that's a, you know, that's a record setter. And market didn't seem too concerned. I mean, you know, and again, it takes a while for some of that stuff to filter out. But it was interesting. I mean, the report came out, and, you know, it was an exact reverse of the July crop report. The July crop report came up with just about every number friendly, and the funds just belly flopped on the market and caved it in down to contract lows. Here we're on contract lows with a wildly bearish report, and they came in and blew the market up. So whether it was just the fact that they couldn't make new lows and make it work, you know, that expended a lot of ammunition and just didn't feel the need to throw more money at it, and it was just one of those natural turning points, whether the storm damage had them nervous, hard to say. But either way, the market, you know, closed off the lows. And, of course, the next morning it just snowballed. And part of that was the FSA had released their numbers on Wednesday, and they were only partial numbers. Thanks to COVID, they weren't able to get all the numbers aggregated. But even with that, the prevented plant numbers, especially for corn, were well above what was expected, implying we lost some more acres of corn beyond what the USDA was forecasting back in that June number. And, you know, that got the market's attention. Now, we lost crops in Iowa, probably Illinois and Indiana, and we have less acres than we're starting with. And I think that really got the market's attention. And, you know, with the funds being short 200,000, you know, corn and only being a little bit long everything else and short the wheat, it got their attention and it was a get-me-out play.
I'm wondering if in the background the market isn't sensing that the dry weather in Iowa might still be having an impact too.
Well, it should be. I mean, Iowa's been in kind of a bullseye of a pretty significant drought, but then so have parts of Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, and Pennsylvania, along with parts of Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas. You know, there's a fair amount of corn that gets grown in that neck of the woods. And then there are also some areas in between that have been a little too wet in some of the wetter areas. You know, like North Dakota, the eastern half is too wet, the western half too dry. And that extends on up into Canada, by the way. So I think all of that starts kind of coming into play. You know, once you start piling on. And again, the rationale behind being wildly bearish, of course, is you look at the ratings. The bean rating for this time of year is record high for a national average. I mean, you look at Iowa. Their corn rating was pushing 70% after a couple of weeks of declining. It was pushing almost 80% a few weeks ago. So even in the midst of a two-month-long drought, the USDA still has them rated at, you know, 70% good to excellent. Well, that's a rating that's pushing a record yield on any year. The analysts say, well, geez, you know, look at those ratings. It must be a fine crop, not a problem. Meanwhile, I have clients saying you can drive down the road down there and see corn firing either from a foot up all the way up to the ear because it's been dry. So I don't know how you get ratings that high out of firing to the ear, but that's what the USDA does.
The other thing that was kind of encouraging, I've heard of on the charts a double bottom, but corn, these corn had a triple bottom this week.
Yep, three times we hit 320. And usually a double or triple bottom doesn't necessarily hit the price. It gets like really close, but this time it was like dunk, dunk, dunk at the exact same price. And so, you know, could be just the funds were unwilling to sell below there. Could be there was a really big buyer, just had a massive order to buy everything there or whatever. And or it just could have been one of those random chance things that just worked out. But triple bottoms, it's like head and shoulders bottoms. It's kind of one of those types of bottoms where you get three distinct, you know, spikes down there. And it's just sort of a variation of a kind of a head and shoulders bottom. But either way, it's fairly powerful and, you know, it seems to be working. And, of course, you throw into the background the dollar's on its lows. China's been buying their daylights out of just about everything. We've been seeing good export sales all week. And, you know, I think all of that starts adding up. They downgraded the French wheat crop, or sorry, the French corn crop this week. I noticed on Bloomberg this morning they were talking to one of their analysts in Britain, and they were joking with them about how hot Britain's been. It's been, they're, you know, big chunks of Europe are in a real heat wave right now. And Europe's had a kind of a tough year all year. And they've downgraded the wheat certainly a little bit, not the USDA so much, but the world has downgraded their wheat. And it looks like their corn and oilseed crops will be having to back off a little too. And then we've talked about China all year. The Indian monsoon rains have kind of moved around this last week, so some of the areas that needed rain actually got rain. But again, they're two-thirds of the way past their summer. It's hard to picture, even if the rains come now, that, you know, they can salvage their crops in great shape. And, of course, the dryers still have, you know, grasshoppers to deal with and all the other issues. So
army worms.
Yeah, and then, you know, you got right now Brazil is having one of the driest dry seasons in a couple of decades. And so, you know, they're only a month away from their planting season, and it's drier than normal. And there's some stories down here saying farmers are already thinking about backing off of corn and rolling into beans so they get plenty of time to deal with it rather than trying to get the corn in early. A lot of markets are not necessarily set in stone. And a year ago, there was a lot of talk about how expensive corn was in Brazil because, effectively, they'd run out of corn. Corn prices are 29% more expensive than they were a year ago in Brazil at this exact same time, which implies that they're really out of corn. And again, the real has gone up over there, which should put corn under pressure. And if the fact that it's up even more suggests that they've pretty much sold themselves out of corn already. And they're not going to have much corn available till harvest, which, you know, is quite a ways away from here.
And over on the livestock, later on in the week, we were in the green too.
Well, you know, I've been talking for a couple of weeks that these livestock are just kind of in slow, grinded-up mode. And this is kind of another week of slow, grinded-up mode. Cattle were up just about every day this week, but nothing really shocking. Like one of my guys said, it's just a brutal thing to trade because, you know, they're just barely drifting up. But bottom line is they're drifting up. I think we're getting closer to normal. You know, the meat packers are figuring it out. The economy's a little back to normal. They're starting to kind of work their way through some of that surplus. And so the net result is things are getting a little bit back to normal. And, you know, cattle are trading at that 115, 120 range back in February, March before things went all to pieces. So it just feels like we're kind of slowly heading back toward that target. And the funds aren't particularly long or short, so there's really no big fund pressure there to kind of shove them around. And then you look at the hogs, it's been kind of the same thing, except they're starting from a lower level. They sort of pushed them down, and pretty much since April, we've been kind of stuck in a great big trade range. And this week, though, we kind of, right at the end of last week, we popped up. We had a little profit taking midweek, but then we firmed up again. So they're not really breaking out, but they're kind of firming up into the upper end of that range. And again, you know, they were trading back in the mid-60s, back before all this coronavirus stuff hit. And they probably have a little bit more overhang to work through, but you know, they're off their lows. The prices look like it's coming down. The slaughter is going up. And it just feels like, you know, we're also doing really good on exports. And, you know, it just feels like the path of least resistance for all the meats is just a slow, steady grind higher.
The other thing that didn't hurt us is the stock market was up there not far from 28,000, so it wasn't crashing and burning, which always hurts the grains too.
Yeah, I mean, the stock market's holding. We're in the upper 27,000 band. The dollar's down around 93. But the only negative we had for corn was really not that negative. Midweek, we got the ethanol number out, and it was the second week where ethanol production was down slightly. But stocks are also down to the tightest level in about 4 years. So, you know, ethanol stocks continue to keep declining, which implies either, you know, what it mostly implies is demand is doing fine. And, you know, so I think one of the problems we might be having over the next couple of weeks, you know, my theory from a year ago was we didn't have the corn and beans the USDA said we had, that were running kind of tight. So, you know, we might be looking like we're kind of seeing demand fade away over the next couple of weeks as some of these things start running out of steam, but more because I don't think we have the corn. And especially in the case of quality corn, you know, 56 pound test weight corn right now is probably kind of hard to come by right now, and I'm sure everybody's trying to scramble to get that. So if you need, you know, high quality corn, it's probably just not much available, which, you know, will have an impact. So if you can use crummy corn, you probably can use it, but the bottom line is, you know, I don't think we have it, and that may show a little bit of, it may be interpreted anyhow as lack of demand, but, you know, when you look at what we're doing as far as sales and what's on the books for new crop and everything, demand seems more than fine, and, you know, my guess is it's just a reflection of the fact that we just don't have the stuff we think we have.
Commodity broker Gordy Kolovits.